Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour Big Bang Barbecue. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Fresno to Florida, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Wrapping up a wild and woolly week here aboard the DA. Good show for you coming up later on in the program. Brian Baldinger, our friend from NFL Network. We'll discuss what is going on in Jacksonville with Blake Bortles. My, oh my. Plus, more kicking problems in Tampa Bay, despite them making a change this week. We'll talk quarterbacking as well across the NFL's preseason. Brian Baldinger later on in the show. This hour, we also bring to a very special DA show guest. You know, we here on the program believe in the lighter side of sports, as you might imagine. And we also, while we take our job seriously, we don't take ourselves seriously. And that is perfect for our first guest today. And that's going to come up later on in this hour, about 35 minutes from now. His name is Brad Hildebrand. He owns and operates a sports radio station west of St. Louis. He is irreverent, a little bit like us. And he is named his sports radio station, which is a CBS sports radio affiliate and carries our show, the DA show, every morning here on the East Coast. It's 9 until 12. There, Central Time Zone, 8 until 11 a.m. He has named his sports radio station Crap. Seriously, the call letters are K-R-A-P. Crap Sports Radio. And he carries our show. And radio is this amazing landscape where you still have some mavericks and renegades and people that like to push buttons. And I think that's why I relate to radio so much. When I was coming through journalism school, yes, there was these dreams that so many students had of being on TV and doing the old sports radio or sports broadcasting career. You know, you go through school and you have your journalism professors and advisors, and they teach you to wear the blazer and speak like this and do your sports cast. Now, don't get me wrong, I had an amazing education, but I always felt like I was a little left of center or a little outside the zone, they say. And so radio is where you're allowed to do a little bit more of that. And anybody that buys a radio station and renames it with the call letters Crap and brands it Crap Sports Radio is a friend of mine. So we'll talk to him, Brad Hildebrand, coming up here in about 30 minutes from now. Stick around for that. I love that. David Sampson, one of the crooks and thieves of Major League Baseball, looks like he is finally out of a job. Thank goodness, fried fish. We'll talk about that coming up here in about 15 minutes from now. The NFLPA is threatening a strike. Oh, what else is new? It's nice to see the NFL is just one big happy family. We'll look at the best non-conference college football schedules because we are creeping closer to Labor Day weekend and college football being back, baby. And it's also a Target Demo Friday, so I'll be catching up on what you guys got going on going into the weekend that will be. As always, hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. And I highly encourage you to watch the show because what's better than listening to the show? Watching the show, of course. Go to watchda.com and check it out in all of its glory and sparkling technicolor.
Electronically ignorant.
That's on your laptop, your desktop, or on your phone or tablet. It is mobile friendly. Watchda.com. Oh, boy. Oh, Jacksonville. Oh, boy. Another unimpressive, apathetic, lethargic performance by Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville Jaguars offense. And Bortles, who has been the starting quarterback of the Jags since early his rookie season, the number three pick overall in 2014, the franchise quarterback. Doug Marrone now says there's an open quarterback competition. He is so frustrated with Bortles. Remember, Bortles threw five INTs to open up the training camp. Bortles was yanked over the weekend after two more interceptions, and Marrone said he had a tired arm. And Doug Marrone has openly said that he needs more production out of Blake Bortles, no ifs, ands, or buts. And now, with two preseason games to go, the Jags are so fed up with Bortles. So frustrated. They are no longer even going to guarantee him being the starter this year. Now it's an open competition with the immortal Chad Henne. When you are the number three pick overall,
hole snapper and third string quarterback,
and you're in your mid-20s, and you have essentially had three full years as a starting quarterback, you're in your physical prime. The franchise has everything invested in you. You're the incumbent starter for 3 years. And now you're even with Chad Henne. Chad Henne? You have done something remarkably wrong. Blake Bortles' career is on life support. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
I met with both quarterbacks afterwards. I told them what I'm looking for is I'm looking for someone that's going to lead this offense. So I'm not happy with the performance today. I'm not going to sit here and BS anyone. I mean, everyone saw it out there. Whatever you want to call it, I'm still trying to evaluate who the best person is at that position. I told that to both quarterbacks to lead the offense.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So let's start with Blake Bortles' responsibility. Most of this is his. You can't tell me that this guy doesn't have talent, okay? You can't tell me that he is in over his head completely because you've been the starting quarterback for essentially three full seasons. He took over week three of his rookie season. So he's had three almost full campaigns to be the starter. And he has had some good moments. He certainly looked very good at UCF, but it doesn't always translate. But the guy has arm strength. The guy has a big build. The guy has now enough experience. Let's put this on Blake Bortles. The fact is the Jaguars are telling him, you don't care enough. That's the fact. Because if Blake Bortles didn't have the arm or didn't have the size, if he just didn't have the physical abilities, the Jaguars wouldn't be holding out hope on him. They'd go, you know what? He just is not an NFL quarterback. He can't see over the line. He can't get the ball where it needs to be. He doesn't have a strong enough arm. He's got no accuracy. Whatever that is, they would have already cut bait with him after three seasons starting for them. But they know he has the ability. They know there is more there. And for them to basically have been prodding him every step of the way means it's already over. I hate to say it. I really do. I hate to say it, but it's already over because Marrone started this in the OTAs and then into mini camps and then into the training camp and then into the preseason. And now he's so exasperated because last night, again, Bortles was so bad that he has to say, okay, fine, Chad Henne might win our job. Again, this is a Hail Mary to wake up Blake Bortles. So you have to put blame at Bortles' feet. He is not getting the most out of his body. And once that starts, it's over. It's just too hard in the NFL to be a quarterback and not care 100%. You're just never going to get it done. It's just already over, which is a real shame because Bortles should take advantage of one last shot because the next job he has in the NFL, nobody's going to want to give him the job. There will be nothing invested in him. Number two, he probably started too soon. I wonder if he was not ruined early because he started too soon. That was a Jaguars team, his rookie season, that was not very good. Under Gus Bradley, they were never disciplined, and he came out of a small school. He was coming out of Central Florida, and while they had a wonderful year, him and George O'Leary, and UCF was one of the Cinderellas of the college football season, a lot of people said, man, Blake Bortles, he looks the part, but, you know, starting at UCF doesn't necessarily mean you're ready to start at the NFL level. There's a huge gap there. And I wonder if Bortles, had he sat that entire rookie season and been forced to earn that job, you've got to be better. You've got to be better. We've got bigger expectations. Not until you're ready. Maybe he wouldn't have taken things for granted, but he was a starter by week three of his rookie season coming out of a UCF. I don't think Bortles was ready. And so Bortles is given the job. And you know what? He's not great, but he's serviceable as a rookie. And then he comes back the next year, and they don't win barely any games. He throws for a good amount of yards, but a lot of that is in catch-up situations because his defense is so bad, the team is so bad, that they're down 28-3 at the half, and he's just going to throw the entire second half. Then those numbers were a little bit inflated, so he comes into year three, probably feels a little bit better about himself than he should. And then last year is kind of a debacle. And then he comes into this year. He's like, well, I've got 3 years starter. I am the starter. Even though I got a new coach and a new GM, I'm the starter. And maybe he takes everything for granted. I think this is where everybody wants to throw Patrick Mahomes in there right now and throw Mitch Trubisky in there right now and throw DeShone Kizer in there right now and start from day one. And people say, well, look at Troy Aikman and look at Peyton Manning. Yeah, but not everybody's Troy Aikman and Peyton Manning. And you've also got to protect your investment. And I think that Bortles starting from week three of his rookie season really ended up doing him a great disservice here. That could not have helped where he's at. Open competition. Henne and Bortles now. I mean, zoink, Scoobs. All right, here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. When we come back, David Sampson, one of the great crooks in recent sports history, maybe of all time, is finally getting his comeuppance. Thank goodness. We'll get to that coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to the DA Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Mraz.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag #AskThePros. Be listening later on in the show. But we'll answer your question. Before your travels begin, prepare for summer road trips. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts for simple preventative maintenance that will ensure a safe journey during the summer months ahead. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. That was exactly how Mraz sounded when we walked into that Cheetos pop-up store. Hey, Mraz, check this out. These are chicken tacos with Cheetos sprinkled all over them. Oh, and look over here. This is mac and cheese with Cheetos baked into it. Oh, and look. This Cheeto fell on the floor and actually rolled out into the sidewalk. Oh, you'd like to eat that too, huh? Yeah. Oh, look at this. There's a bag of Cheetos opened on the floor of the bathroom. Would you like to eat it? I thought so. Disgusting human.
I embrace not having morals, and I don't care.
Chuck tweeting in, D.A., Doug Marrone used to coach the bungling Buffalo Bills. Should we be surprised at any of this? Well, I think there is some blame on the Marrone side because he put the target on Blake Bortles' back from the moment he walked in the door. If I'm them, I say about Bortles, no big deal, he'll be fine, he's our starter, we believe in him. And then only when you have to is when you do something like, okay, now we have an open competition, right? But the thing is, Marrone was publicly blasting him, criticizing him from like the moment he walked in the door. And I don't think that help matters at all. But most of this is on Blake Bortles. Look, I can't blame a head coach for a guy not being motivated enough or focused enough to take care of the job, especially at quarterback. You have to be internally motivated. And I just don't think that Bortles is. This is a disgrace. There are a group of people in sports that are just overall bad people. They're just bad people, and a lot of them run the NFL. I mean, let's face it. But there is a couple of guys in the baseball world that have been pretty bad guys, and that is Jeffrey Loria and David Sampson. Now, Jeffrey Loria, I think, could be benign under the right circumstances. I think that Jeffrey Loria isn't necessarily a bad human being. I don't think necessarily he has a lot of bad tendencies, but when given the opportunity, Jeffrey Loria has been a bit of a crook, okay? Jeffrey Loria, when given the opportunity to shove money down his pants and take civic money and not put it back into the city and kind of lead people, misdirection them the wrong way, he has taken the opportunity to do that. He has been shrewd in business, almost like a rat. But overall, I don't know if he was given the right supporting people around him and maybe not so many handouts, maybe he wouldn't be as bad. David Sampson, though, is a pretty bad guy. He's a pretty bad guy. And I worked down in Miami, but David Sampson is a pretty bad guy, and he's been the president of the Marlins for the last 15 years. And now, finally, with the new ownership group, he's going to get forced out. And it could not have happened to a worse guy. Loria empowered David Sampson to be at his worst. And that's on Loria as well. And look, Loria is a crook, don't get me wrong. I mean, Jeffrey Loria has taken all of the money from the stadium and from the city and from revenue sharing and never really invested it back into the team. The moment that he did, he wanted pats on the back. Then the moment that they were losing, he ripped it all up and just torched any fan loyalty. I mean, he's been really a disgrace as an owner in Miami. But David Sampson has carried out those marching orders by being a bad guy. David Sampson wanted to be the bad guy in that organization. David Sampson is a guy that is about 5 foot nothing with a huge Napoleon complex. Because he's short, because he is irritable, because he is, I think, very antisocial, he has become the ultimate bully. He wanted everybody to know, I'm in power, I'm in charge. And guess what? David Sampson had the benefit of being a family member of the owner. I mean, so these two guys were just in cahoots. This was Bonnie and Clyde stuff. They were just going to rob the city blind and never invest it back into the team. And Samson, who is antisocial and has a very bizarre kind of personal life and a very bizarre set of idiosyncrasies, also was just a bully. And he didn't mind spitting the eye of fans and saying, you don't like it, screw you. Because there was nothing you could do about it. He's not going to get fired. His father-in-law is the owner. So it was always the most, it was the an uncomfortable relationship, and they lacked all decency and all tact. And thank goodness Samson is on his way out. This is how bad Samson is, and everybody around the league knows it. This ownership is not even in charge yet, and they fired David Samson, basically. I mean, it was like, okay, we'll buy the team, but we get to fire David, right? Like, Samson's out, right? That's how bad this guy has been. And karma is a bee sting. You treat everybody like crap. You walk all over people. You spit in their eye. You take their money. You tell them, screw you, I'm going to be here. And you get what you've given. You reap what you sow. And everybody in Miami should be doing a dance, a jig today, that David Samson is out of a job. I wouldn't hire him to mop the floors of my team. I wouldn't hire him to be a ticket taker, because I'd like somebody who's, you know, not a crook, not a bully, not a terrible human being to actually work for me. And Samson, unfortunately, can't check any of those boxes. He has been the worst. The worst. And Samson has laughed all the way to the bank by watching his owner steal all the money, not invested back into the stadium, pocket revenue sharing, not invested back into the roster, not do anything with any of the money they have taken from the city, from the league, from other teams, from taxpayers. Didn't matter. We'll take it. We'll lead the high life, and you can't do anything about it. Finally, he is gone. And to be noted that he appeared in the series Survivor and was the first contestant voted off. First. That was like 3 years ago he was on Survivor. First guy. Oh, nice. You're the president of a Major League Baseball team. Would you think that might take a lot of time on your hands? Would you have time to, you know, be a reality television contestant? No. And were the Marlins building like a World Series contender and I missed it? Oh, but David Samson found time to be a contestant on a reality show because he didn't really have a job besides to lord around the palace and say, screw you, I'm the baby boy of the owner, eat it, I'm going to go do reality shows. Oh, and he got voted off the first time around. So thank goodness this guy's finally out of a job. Biggest joke in baseball, Samson, you got. Given the zig, walking papers, bye-bye, move along. Pathetic human being.
I am the epic fail.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. When we come back, the owner of an affiliate here on the CBS Sports Radio airwaves that carries the DA show, The Da, every single day.
Aw, The Da. I love The Da.
Brad Hildebrandt, who renamed his sports radio station Crap. K-R-A-P. Crap Sports Radio.
You're listening to The DA Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, DA, with you. We are all legends in our own mind of the rent-to-own industry. Remember, you can always listen to the show on iTunes. If you want to hear anything that you may have missed, you want to hear it again, go to iTunes. It's free. Full hours, full segments, full interviews, and they're all segmented so you can check them out, labeled by segment so you know exactly what you're looking for. Go to iTunes, search DA and CBS.
They were nuts.
Speaking of nuts, we're on an affiliate west of St. Louis, so into Missouri. And its call letters are K-R-A-P. Crap. Radio is the last bastion of zaniness when it comes to media. The internet obviously is there as well, but if you consider newspapers, magazines, television, radio, the traditional media outlets, radio is the last bastion of zaniness, which is why I love it so much, which is why you are listening right now, because you know, you never know what you're going to get here on the DA Show.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
And a man that would buy a radio station and rename it crap is a man after my own heart. Brad Hildebrand is that man. He owns this radio station that carries CBS Sports Radio, and he tweeted at me multiple times saying, we're listening to you on crap, or we're carrying your show on crap, or you sound great on crap. And I thought the guy was obviously joking. I didn't really know what he was talking about. As I delved into a little bit more and asked him, are you serious? He's like, yeah, our call letters are K-R-A-P. I didn't believe it. I had to Google it, and sure enough, it was there. I said, we have to have you on because you are a great American patriot. Joining us here on the show is the Grand Poobah of Crap Sports Radio in Missouri, Brad Hildebrand. Brad, good morning.
DA, before I go any further, you have to beam me up.
Zap, zap, baby. Zap, zap.
Hey, I appreciate it. Yeah, you didn't believe me, did you, when I started tweeting at you?
No, I did not think anybody, had named their radio station with the call letters K-R-A-P. I thought that this was some type of joke that you were pulling on me.
Well, you want the quick story of how it happened?
Yeah.
Well, we are one of the original affiliates on the CBS Sports Radio, and this young guy at the time who was doing, I think, the overnight show, I think his name was DA or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah, we were there on day one, which was, what, January 2nd of 2013.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, and we've been an affiliate ever since, and we carry you. Matter of fact, not to give us some little plugs here, but we also do the Kansas City Chiefs. Because I think the Rams left us. I think they're gone. We also do St. Louis Blues, and we do Missouri Tigers football and basketball, in addition to handling you guys 24/7. When we switched the call letters, or we switched the format back in 2013, I tried to get a different set of call letters, and I wanted to call it the Sports Zone. So everything I, KSTZ, whatever, all those call letters were all taken. So just like as a joke, I looked on the FCC database, and I go, I wonder what if crap's available. And there's a little interesting sidelight in this, is that years and years and years ago, the FCC gave a block of call letters to the Coast Guard, of all crazy things. And there are a bunch of these four-letter call letters that were assigned to Coast Guard vessels and regular vessels. So I looked it up in the FCC database. Sure enough, it said that the call letters were assigned to the Coast Guard. I contacted the people at the Coast Guard, and they informed me that the call letters, and this is sort of funny, the call letters crap were assigned to an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico, which sank. So I asked them if they would release the call letters to the FCC. So they released the call letters to the FCC, and about a week later, we had crap.
Now, I read a profile about you that this goes back to when you were kids, that you were joking around with your buddies when you were a kid saying, if we ever owned a radio station, we should name it crap.
I had a friend of mine, and I'm one of these guys. I've been in the business, probably longer than you've been alive. I don't want to sound like I'm an old guy, but I am. But when I was a kid growing up, me and a friend of mine, my friend of mine and I used to kid about all the time. We used to play our little radio station thing, and we would always say, hey, it's crap on your dial.
And so you got to grow up and actually live out that dream. You bought the radio station when, in 98?
Yeah. Matter of fact, it originally, when I bought it, we also own an FM station. And by the way, not only are you on 1350 crap, but now with our new translator, you're on 107.1.
We have FM crap?
Yeah, we have crap and crap FM. If you don't like crap, you have crap FM. And, it's really funny, when I put the thing on, I had all sorts of people going like, you can't be serious. And what I've gotten to the point where I tell people, I say, all I have to do is tell my call letters to somebody once, and they never forget them. And it's true. I mean, I tell people, I go, hey, I'm the guy. And even to the point, we have some fun with it. If you look on our website, I talk about the fact that, yeah, we're crap. Our studio's crap. Our equipment's crap. Our transmitter's crap. And the staff is crap.
The owner is definitely crap, right?
Well, yeah, I'm the head crapper. What are you talking about? Yeah, and you know what? What's interesting is we did have a fair amount of pushback. Matter of fact, there was a Facebook page, for the community we're licensed to, Washington, Missouri, and on the Facebook page, they just tore us a you-know-what, and to the point where, you know, they're, how embarrassing is this, and blah, blah, blah. Now, what's interesting is our transmitter site is right on a fairly major highway, Highway 47, which is in southern Warren County, and we're just west of the St. Louis Metro. Matter of fact, you can actually hear crap in western St. Louis County. But we've actually had, and we have a sign out there, and we call it Sports Crap. That's what we've called it, Sports Crap. We have a cute little logo, and we have a sign at our transmitter site. There's probably 30,000-40,000 cars a day. And what's really interesting was I get people that forward me Facebook posts of people who get out and take selfies at our transmitter site, with the sign behind it. It's probably once a month somebody forwards me, hey, this guy's on my Facebook page, and look at the selfie. And sure enough, he's standing in front of our sign at the transmitter site.
That is fantastic, man. Well, in radio, I feel like it's the last bastion for Maverick. So do you feel like this is kind of the perfect venue for you to live out creatively and a little bit outside the line, color outside the lines, like you're using with Crap, the call letters?
Well, yeah, and you know what? I've been in this business long enough, and God, once again, I sound like an old guy, most all the stations were individually owned. There was no group ownership and stuff like that. And, you always looked for competitive advantage, and to the point where what's sort of interesting is a lot of the stations don't even use call letters anymore. I mean, look at all the sports stations. We sort of make fun of that on the air. We go, hey, this isn't the fan. This isn't the ticket. This isn't the, whatever, because most of the sports stations are named like, the fan. And, the ball, the player, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and even most of the, radio stations. I mean, you got the Eagle, you got the this, you got the that, and hardly anybody uses their call letters anymore. And I think that now that gives us sort of an advantage, because of the fact that, hey, we are Crap and we're proud of it.
Well, right. I mean, you would never be doing this interview if you had normal call letters. I think it's kind of brilliant.
and to the point where I shouldn't say this is actually sort of funny, but we've gotten some publicity through the radio media. But what was really interesting, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, one of their sports feature reporters actually took me to lunch and did a whole story. If you search this on the web, you can find the story. The guy's name is Dan Caesar, writes a lot of stuff for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And what was going on in town at the time was this really crazy, weird thing going on with some of the sports stations, where in one of the sports stations, the station just sort of imploded. And at one point in time, one of the anchors on the air actually went into the general's manager's office and had a fist fight. They punched it out, and they both ended up in jail and the whole bit. So I sort of seized upon this, like, okay, let's have a let's have a little fun, and let's not take ourselves as seriously as some of the other sports stations. And it's sort of interesting, and quite honestly, we do a good product, and not to try to stroke you, but I love the CBS Sports Network. You guys have done, sports radio has done such a great job with this. And once again, not to sound like I'm stroking you, but I'm really glad to see you on, because like I said, when you started, you were doing the all-night show, right?
Yeah, I was doing the overnights when we first launched. We did that for 2 years, then moved over to the evenings for 2 years. Then now we've been in this slot for a little over, I think, 4 months or so. So, yeah, it's been great. This network has been great to me. I mean, they've really let me do my thing. And, there's a lot of corporate oversight with a lot of networks that say, can't say that, don't do that, don't try that. And they really let me do what I really want to do. So I appreciate that. And I'm glad that it hits on the other side, from station owners, because I'm always about affiliates and say, okay, do you like the show? Is it working? What does the audience think? So I appreciate that a lot. Was radio always something you wanted to get into as an owner or buying into media?
Yeah, I've done it for a long time. I've done a bunch of different things. When I was a kid, I was always fascinated with it. I started in radio right out of high school when I was going to college. Started when I was 17. This is year number 45 for me. I worked as a jock at the original KSLQ in St. Louis from 73 to 84. Then I, believe it or not, in the early 80s, I started flying as a backup for one of our traffic reporters, and I flew traffic for a couple years. I actually learned how to fly a Bell Jet Ranger, the whole bit, and then started a traffic network. So for 10 years, I was the traffic guy here in St. Louis, where I did traffic. As a matter of fact, when we sold the company, we had, almost every station in town except for KMOX and I think KMOX FM, whatever it was back then, KLOU, and we were on a couple TV stations, and I sold That company started another traffic network business, was in Des Moines, Iowa, Omaha, Nebraska, Springfield, Missouri. And then in 97, a friend of mine that I'd known for a long time owned these stations. And he called me up one day and he says, hey, he says, I got a chance to pick up some stations at the Lake of the Ozark. Are you interested in buying the stations? I said, sure. So we negotiated a deal and, you know, essentially got the financing together December 31st, 1997. So I'm coming up on 20 years and we officially, you know, closed and took possession of the stations in early 98. So, yeah, you know what, though? But and you know, you mentioned something. And I don't want to sound like we're getting my high horse or anything like that. But what I love about what you do especially is radio has gotten so formulatized and, you know, this is, you can't say this and you can't say that. What I love about what you guys do, and like Geo and Jones in the morning, you know, and Tiki and Tierney, the whole bit, you guys have fun. And I think that really comes across on the radio. And I think that's something that's missing so much from our business.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I listen to a lot of sports talk, and it feels so laborious. It feels like guys are going on there just to spit hot takes, just to kind of churn through the day's news. And I never felt like radio was supposed to be just that. We're talking to Brad Hildebrand, who's the owner and the grand poobah of Crap Radio, K-R-A-P, around St. Louis, west of St. Louis. They carry our show. You know, because I grew up in small town America, and we had a small radio station around us, and I used to listen to it, and that's where I worked growing up, you know, doing internships or coming through the ranks, and I think there's such a place for it. It also is such a great place for young broadcasters to learn, and you guys have actually had some good broadcasters come through there. I think I read Greg Amsinger came through there from MLB Network. We love Greg. We have him on the show all the time. He's awesome.
Well, would you tell him I keep trying to call him, but he won't return my calls?
I wonder if he listed on the resume. I don't know.
Honestly, you know, and it's really funny. Greg Amsinger, I used to pay Greg Amsinger $30 a game to do high school football and basketball. I met Greg when he was going to school here at Lindenwood University, and he also did the play-by-play for the River City Rascals. Dan McLaughlin never worked on our AM station, but he worked on KSLQ even before I owned the station, and we've had quite a few other people. And, you know, the thing is, I tell people all the time, and I think what, you know, you get it. You talked about how, you know, you started in business, and I tell these young guys, I go, look, I said, you're not going to walk into WFAN or Camo X or whatever the big sports station is and get a job. You got to, you know, you got to sort of, you know, hone your craft. It's a lot like, and what's crazy about it is, it's a lot like Major League Baseball, where you just don't, you know, start with Yankees. You know, you start out in rookie ball, or, you know, you work your way up, you know, single A, double A, triple A, and it's the same way sort of in our business. But I don't know, you know, it seems like a lot of the younger guys, they just want to, you know, if they can't, you know, work at the big dog sports station in town, I don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that was always the opposite of my attitude. I said, I just want to be on the air, and I won't be on the air at a big dog radio station, so I've got to start at small stations. That was the only way I was going to get better. So what you're telling me is when I talk to young broadcasters or guys that want to get into the business, I'm going to send them to you, and they're going to start working at Crap.
You know, I have to tell you that we have even toyed with the idea of opening the Crap School of Broadcasting. And we'd actually, you know, and you'd actually get a diploma. You know, this certifies that this person has, you know, risen to the high standards of Crap.
I love it. Brad Hildebrand, the grand poobah, the owner of Crap Radio, which is west of St. Louis. They carry CBS Sports Radio. Brad, I love what you're doing. Keep the creativity and the irreverence up, man. It is wonderful. Thanks so much for carrying the station and the show. It means a lot to me personally because I worked out in Kansas City for a number of years, and I love that part of the country. And keep doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah, and if you want to check us out, sportscrap.com, that's our website. And, you know, Kansas City, you know what? And that's a great market, too. Didn't Ryder work there as well, too?
Yeah, Ryder and I worked there at the same time. Jeff Passan was working for the Kansas City Star at the same time. Nick Wright worked there at the same time. I mean, it was a hotbed, man. It's a great area.
Yeah, it's, you know, Midwest, man, you know. And some people call us flyover country, but you know what? I just call it home of crap.
Thank you, Brad.
Have a good one.
Brad Hildebrand joining us from Crap Radio, K-R-A-P. Just the best. I mean, that's a man after my own heart. I've always dreamt about owning a radio station, and that's exactly the type of thing I would do. When we come back here on the show, is there crap coming for another NFL lockout? We'll discuss. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.